Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I bring you good news. Good news. Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, when you pray, here's an outline for you. You need to include these things in your praying. He said, when you pray, pray our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or trespasses, as we forgive our debtors or those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Now, you know this prayer. I hope you pray this prayer. Many of us don't, and I didn't for many years, thinking that perhaps I shouldn't. But I have come to a place where I need to be reminded that there are some basics in prayer, and that we've looked at the first verse just briefly, and I want to go back to the first verse and speak to you about this, because the first and the second verse are sort of interrelated, but we have to understand how Jesus was pronouncing what he was pronouncing. Now, if you look at the previous few 8 verses of this chapter 6 of Matthew, you discover that Jesus says, don't do your alms before men. He said there are people that like to stand on the corners. There are people that like to make a big fuss. They have no reward of your Father in heaven because they've already had their reward. They've been seen by men to be praying. I was reading the other day from John Calvin's work, and I discovered that he said about this prayer that nobody sounds a trumpet. Well, that's because he was European and had lived in Europe and had lived in particular in parts of Switzerland. He had a serious problem understanding this business of a trumpet sounding. Well, if you go to India, you can very quickly see exactly what Jesus was talking about. There are guruistic type people who will sit cross-legged. I wish I could cross my legs the way they do. They sit cross-legged on a little dais on the corner of streets, mostly where several streets come together, and they lay their hands open, and of course those hands get crossed with lots of alms, lots of money. People with very little money give them money. They sit there for hours, but they have certain times when they blow a horn and they announce what they're about to do, and then in the various dialects of Indian-speaking people, they pray for this, that, and the other. And people come to them and will drop a coin into their hands and say, will you pray for my relative? Will you pray for this, that, and the other? And they do, I assume, because the people seem quite satisfied. And I don't know what in the world they say, and I don't know to whom they pray, but they do this thing. Jesus understood that people like to be heard by other people, and some people like to be, in a sense, and I use the word very carefully, guruistic. They like to seem to be holy men. They like to seem to be very spiritual. Jesus says, don't do this. Then he says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. This is verse 6. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now, I'm of the opinion that God knows the smallest part of my life. the tiniest thing, the sudden thought that drifts through my brain box and drifts right out because I don't remember things like I used to. He knows that I am frail. He knows that I am made of dust, and from dust I came, and to dust I shall return. But Jesus wants us to be understanding how to pray. Now you go into your closet. Shut the door. Don't let people know what you're praying. And lift up your heart unto him. A few months ago, we were sort of taking stock of where we were, my wife and I, and she said, you know, there are no funds and there's no food. And I said, oh dear, why didn't you tell me? The Lord has promised to provide our daily bread, and the Lord has promised to keep us according to his riches in glory. So let's go to prayer. And I went into prayer, and an hour or two later, someone banged on the door and said, wonder if you can use some of this mincemeat. We've got a surplus, and they gave us 2 or 3 pounds of meat. One said steaks, and so we had 2 or 3 steaks and things like that. And within the next hour, a young couple came across to visit, and they just came and said, oh, we felt we wanted to say hello to you. And here's a brand new loaf of bread that my wife has just cooked, and we thank them very much. And then within the next hour, let's say, someone came and gave us more food. So that side of things was covered. And then, lo and behold, we had enough money to pay whatever it was we had to pay. We had the funds and we had the food, and we were on again. We were back in the place of practical Christianity. It amazes me how wonderfully the Lord looks after us, and he looks after you if you will allow him. Well, now let's look at this. Our Father, which art in heaven. We often talk about our Father, and I have at some length, although not exhaustively. Now I would like to come to the place where we see in heaven. Let's take a long look. What do we know about heaven? Well, the Apostle Paul uses expressions that confuse us sometimes. He says there are people that are asleep in Christ, and then others have made a doctrine out of this. Well, hold on, be careful, because what Paul was saying was the people that have died and appear to be asleep, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus, waiting for his coming into the world. And the Lord Jesus is wonderfully coming. Now, we have to understand that we should be waiting for him to come from heaven. What else do we know about heaven? Well, we know that Jesus ascended up into heaven after he was crucified, and after he was resurrected in 3 days, and after that he had spent 40 days with the disciples, teaching them and helping them and challenging them, why Jesus went up into heaven. And they looked, and as they looked, he ascended. He went up, up, up into the clouds. Then they saw a flash of him between some clouds, and up and up and up until he was a tiny spot in the sky, and up Jesus went into heaven. So we know it's up, and we also know that Jesus went there. Jesus refers to this. We'll come to it in just a moment. But I would like to remind everyone this, that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. People that are prepared go into heaven. Now, the Lord Jesus went into heaven, and what's he doing? Well, he's sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, and he is an advocate. He is an intercessor on our behalf. When the wrath of God is stirred because of the sin of the Christian, we'll stay with Christians, we'll call them saints. When the saint or the Christian stumbles and gets himself or herself into a bit of a bind, we have to understand that Jesus is immediately activated and he turns, as it were, to his Father and reminds him, perhaps, see the nail prints in my hands? I died for this one. I died for that one. I suffered for these people, and they are mine. God has said he gave the church to Jesus. No one else built the church. Now, the church means the born-again ones, those that have been born again by putting their trust, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you can understand that and assimilate it into your life, and if you can dial it in to your daily living so that you understand that you believe in the Lord Jesus and that he keeps you, he watches over you, and he cares for you, and he keeps you, you will understand that he makes intercession for you. The scriptures say this, that the Lord Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you." Now, the Lord Jesus was most emphatic that we understand that he was making a place for us in heaven. Heaven is this beautiful place that we read about in the book of Revelation, the golden streets, the fruits that come from the trees once a month instead of once a year. The harvest is continual. So we are fed continually with super fruit, I suppose one dare say. We are walking streets of gold. The new Jerusalem that sits in the heavens, why, that new place where we live in Christ and with Christ, that place is full of burnished, beautiful stones that are precious, the diamonds, the glittering Brazilian-type stones like the aquamarine, all the different gems that people have discovered. The walls are made of this, and all that is precious on earth is expressed in the simplicity of the usage of these precious gems being used to build our mansions, so on. So as we look at all of this, we know that heaven is a mighty wonderful place. We also know that we shall never thirst again, and we will be in the light that has no shadow, that is, a light that so illumines our persons that we give off light as well as receive the light from the Lord Jesus. And there is no shadow of turning, that is, there is no shadow that we cast because we are filled with resurrection light. And there is no shadow cast. So we are bright and just illuminating. It's going to be a remarkable place. Our bodies will be changed. And some of us whose bodies give us a bit of trouble these days, why, we'd say, well, thank the Lord for that. We shall have a new body and a new way of thinking, and we shall have new perspective, new vision. All the things that we think about. I've used the illustration several times here, but there was a lady I knew who was blind by birth, and the first person she saw at 82 years old wasn't the miracle of sight that was given to her in the presence of men. It was the miracle of sight that was given to her when she saw Jesus for the first time, and she saw him in all his glory. The word glory we really don't understand, but we get a glimpse of it as we look at the Old Testament and see that the glory was in the Holy of Holies. God was visiting, and this bright brilliance of God was in this holy place by the mercy seat where the seraphim's wings almost touched over the Ark of the Covenant. And so on, we read about some things that are mystical and yet they are perfectly practical and will be revealed when we all get to heaven. Well, now, our Father who art in heaven, my dearest Daddy who is living in heaven, I believe that when my child dies, God is looking after that child in eternity or heaven. I believe that when my parent dies, God is looking after that parent in eternity. Looking across at my peers when they die, I believe that it is God that is looking after them in eternity and will look after them and will love them and keep them and hold them. And I believe that when I get to heaven, that is when this body drops dead from the exhaustion of life on earth, when this dust returns to dust, my spirit is released and I go into that eternal place where I am reestablished and I re-meet all these dear people that mean so much to me on earth. So, our Father who art in heaven, God is there. He is there in power. He is there in person. And it's a privileged place that we go to, for we go into the presence of the living God. Listen to King David. He has always believed that God is in heaven. He has always believed that there is God. He didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ because Jesus wasn't revealed yet to him. So he had Old Testament views and Old Testament thinking. But when he's laying upon his deathbed, he calls back to memory to those that were around his bed listening. He says, "You remember when I sinned and I went with Bathsheba? You remember that the child we had was a boy, and you remember that that child never became officially, legally a Hebrew because he died the day he should have been circumcised and he should have been brought into the Hebronic faith. Now," he says, "I'm going to be where he is at." In other words, David knew that this boy had gone into the arms of God the Father. He knew that the Father loved that boy more than he did. But he also knew that the judgment of God was upon that relationship because it was illicit and wrong, and he had done wrong. He was approximately 78 years old when he died. All those years from a younger man till this time, it had worried his conscience. I think that's the word we'd use today. And it had bugged him. But he was now relieved. He was going to see that boy. As the boy had somehow, and I don't know how this happens, received his new body in heaven. And it was a mature body. And he was to go to where this son was at. Have you ever thought of these things? Have you ever concerned yourselves with these things? Here is a piece of joy for those of you who have had abortions and now wish you hadn't. And now your conscience is just shredded and now you feel so wretched and shameful because you allowed yourself to have an abortion. I would say to you that the abortion part of your life was a tragedy within your life. There's no question in my mind about that. However, I've good news. The child that you aborted, if you're loving Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be joined with in eternity. with your Father in heaven. Who is this Father in heaven? Go to Isaiah and chapter 9, where we read that Jesus will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. So understand that when Jesus says to his disciples, I and the Father are one, we are talking with God the Father, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, very God, very man. And we find that this Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered for the sins of the world, your sins, my sins, our sins, this Lord Jesus, this wonderful, precious Savior, loves you and wants you to be his friend. And he wants you to come into heaven. And if you have a child already there because of this tragedy of abortion, don't be so sad anymore. Realize that forgiveness has come. Realize that forgiveness has flooded your soul. Realize that forgiveness is God's great privilege to us. It's the extension of his grace. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve to have the presence of God within our lives. And yet, we shall go to where they are at. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that wonderful? So, though you didn't cuddle that child as a human being on earth, but you lost that child in the operation of an abortion, now you can cuddle that child and speak with that child in the language that the child knows without any barrier between. We will be one, joined together closely in the Lord Jesus. I think for those of you who would be mothers who have suffered that sort of experience, should be this day comforted. The scripture tells us that Jesus said, comfort ye one another. I and the Father, we're one. Jesus said, there are many places in heaven for people to live. Millions of people will inherit the mansions that Jesus has built. Many are the people that are going to be thrilled because they're in the presence of God, where the sun is shining all the time. In fact, the moon will be brighter than the sun, says the scripture. The sun will be seven times brighter than we understand the sun to be now. And we will be in that light, in that wonderful position where we are together with Jesus forever and ever. Oh, how I love Jesus, says the hymn writer. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he has made a wonderful place in eternity for the likes of sinful me. He lifted me up. He put my feet upon the solid rock. He caused me to rejoice with a new song in my mouth. He placed within my heart a melody that will sing forever and forever. Listen to King David again. He said, you know, so precious is the Lord that if the Lord will allow me just to be a doorkeeper, the chap that opens the door for people to come in and go out, if he will let me be the doorkeeper, that will suffice. This great king that God made on this earth, the best king Israel ever had, a king whose heart was after the same manner as God's heart, this man that was so terrific and sinful, but in the presence of God, this man could say, just let me be a doorkeeper. That'll suffice, so long as it's a door in heaven. I want to be with God the Father. And that means for him, also he would be with God the Son. For us, it means we will be with Jesus and therefore with the Father. Slightly different, but exactly the same. So our Father, my darling Daddy, living in heaven, my dearest Papa, who understands my down-sitting and my uprising, the one who understands when I fall on my nose, the one who understands me just as I am, without one plea but that his blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come, says the hymn writer. Are you in that group? Do you pray this prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven? Or maybe you're disjointed in your thinking and you're seeing what's happening in Russia. You're seeing what's happening in the world stage with Iran and with North Korea. And you're seeing and worrying that they will soon be lobbing nuclear bombs into this country. And we have reduced our armaments very considerably and may not be able to hit back because there is pacifism in our country today that is a false pacifism. Maybe you're worrying about that. Oh, it doesn't matter, dear friend, because absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. And we know that he will keep his word. In a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be together with Jesus, which is far better. For me to live is Christ, and to die is great gain. Well, there you are, some thoughts about heaven and about this lovely prayer. Let's pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you that you've opened a new and living way for those of us that have cried out to you, wash me, that I shall be white as snow. Create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, that somehow, in your great plan, we may stand with you in heaven above. Lord, hold us gently but firmly this day, and keep us, that we may honor your name that is above every name. And we thank you for such a perspective that heaven is awaiting. Bless us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you for listening. I pray that you will turn your heart to the Lord Jesus. Bye-bye.